All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please, in your Bibles, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. While you're turning there, let me just mention a few things. First of all, it's already been a blessing and a privilege to be here in the chapel service. And our church, our home church, Westgate Baptist Church, has been involved with the ambassador and partners in ministry in different ways. And we've kept up with the ministry and appreciate what Brother Beal is doing. Appreciate what the faculty and staff are doing. Appreciate the heart of the students here. And I hope that you thank the Lord recently for the opportunity to be involved right here in this Christian college. You are in a special place, and God has blessed you with the opportunity to be involved here. I hope you understand that. Hope you don't take that for granted. And I'm thrilled with already what we've heard and this morning, encouraged, challenged already. In my own heart, and just appreciate the emphasis during this hour on the Word of God and the Spirit of God and what the Lord wants to do in our heart. Before we read the passage here, I just want to mention very briefly a little bit about the ministry, what we're doing as far as recruiting today. We are looking and praying for some staff members in the future and actually looking for one girl for this upcoming semester. And most of the time when I mention National Hoops Ministries and looking for staff members, people automatically assume, well, I got to know about basketball or I got to be able to play basketball, and it's just not true. In fact, we had a couple ladies that wanted to travel with us, and they did not know what a three-pointer was, and we had to explain that to them. But we were more than willing to take them because of their heart for service and their heart for the Lord. And what we're looking for is people, young ladies, young men that just simply have a heart for ministry, heart for service, a heart to see people saved. And what the young people do on our team is basically get into the public schools. And I'll tell you, if you want an eye-opening experience, and some of you are already involved in this, you need to get into the public schools and to see the great need there. Truly, the harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of harvest in our public schools. It needs to be reaped. And so what we ask our students to do that travel with us is pass out flyers in the public schools, invite people to the tournament on Saturday, and then the team members get involved in conducting the tournament, that is keeping score or working some computer brackets and things like that, taking care of registration. And then they get the opportunity to sing before the message on Saturday and then to counsel some of the people that come forward. We have young ladies that counsel ladies that come forward for responding to the gospel. We have sometimes we have moms come, grandmas come, younger brothers and sisters come to receive Christ. And so it is a fantastic opportunity to get involved in ministry. And maybe the timing is not quite right for you, but for maybe some of you, you're thinking maybe the timing is right. And I'd love to be able to talk with you later on this afternoon. We'll be here till about 1 o'clock today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Would you look at verse 7? The Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Lord, would you help us here in the next few minutes as we depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Depend upon the power of this book, the Word of God. And Lord, we admit to you that there's nothing that in and of ourselves that we can accomplish either through preaching or even listening. We are dependent upon the God of heaven, the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to teach us. Lord, we give to you our weakness, but we look for your strength in exchange. And Lord, we look for the power of Christ that it might rest upon us. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us. We need your Spirit to reveal things to us. I pray that all of us, Lord, you've already met with me. And Lord, you've dealt with me. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to deal with me and continue to deal with all those that are under the sound of the preaching. I pray that we would very simply get honest. Lord, we would be humble enough to understand that you're dealing with us, and we need to respond, and we need to admit if we're wrong, and depend upon the grace of God to fix some things that need to be fixed in our own lives. I pray, Lord, for your honor and for your glory, would you do what only God can do and work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want to waste some time like I did, go to your computer and Google steps to success or keys to success. It's very interesting what you'll come up with. And it's fascinating to me how many books and videos and the seminars are out there to try to help you and I get a grip on life and get a grip on the success that really we want in life. I'll just read a couple of things that I found as I was wasting time doing this little bit of a research. There's a book out there called Seven Keys to Success. The guy's name that wrote it was Will Edwards, and here's what he says. He says, it's time for you to wake up and start living the life that you were born to live. And to do that, you need to acquire the seven steps. So by the way, if you don't have the seven steps, you're not living the life that you were born to live, right? Another quote that I wrote down, the complete guide. In other words, if you read this book, you buy this book or this video series or whatever it was, the complete guide to manifesting your goals and life dreams. Isn't that what we need? We need that book to understand how to get to our life goals and dreams. I thought this was interesting. This book basically had two steps, two major steps in being productive in life and reaching your life goals. The first one is aim to be the best in the world. Doesn't that just sound like our world's philosophy? Just aim to be the best in the world. Then number two says stop all unproductive effort. Well, duh. I mean, I could have probably wrote that book or at least that sentence right there. Stop all unproductive effort. Then, it was funny because I came across the seven keys to success, and then I was a little confused because as I kept my research and wasting time, I found also that there were six keys to success. Then there were also 10 keys to success. There was 11. There was 16. There were 17 principles of personal achievement. So then I was confused. I mean, how do I get this success that obviously what these guys are telling me, it's what I really need in life. It's what I really want. You know, our world is pretty confused and has a wrong philosophy. It's interesting that we enter into this world and we're always trying to get the upper edge on everybody else. I mean, my kids, they'll jump off the couch, they'll play Superman, and they think that they're automatically trying to get the edge over everybody else, even if it's just brothers and sisters. That's the way that we're born. We want to try to succeed in whatever we do. And that's why there's hundreds of books and videos and seminars and all kinds of events that are going on to try to teach us how to have some sort of success and to give us the formula for success. It literally dominates our society. You know, if someone could just write something a little bit different and guarantee that it's the answer, a formula for success, they'd be millionaires, they'd be set for life. Well, there is something out. It's not a new book, it's an old book. It's called the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And in that book, we have God's formula for success. It's a little bit different than what the world's philosophy is. A lot different, actually. But it is time, I believe, and according to Scripture, that every Christian, I'm talking about you and I now, I'm talking about students and faculty, I'm talking about preachers in the room, I'm talking about it is time that every Christian turn from all these other ideas and take exclusively the plan of God for power in their life. Can I just ask you, is that what you want? Do you not want power? And I'm not talking about the world's view of success, but I'm talking about deep down. Do you not want a God-given something that is supernatural, something that can only be explained by God doing something in your heart and in your life? Do you and I not want a power that comes from on high? How do you get it? What is the secret? What is the recipe, the formula for power? Well, I think it's dictated to us pretty clearly in this passage of Scripture. And if you'll allow, I'll work a little bit backwards. And first off, I want to see this product. What is the product? And obviously, the product is power. And I'll use an illustration. I'm not sure why I'm using an illustration, because I know nothing about cooking. But I'm going to use an illustration about cooking. You know, if you open up a cookbook and you see the product there. I mean, true, you're thinking, all right, what do I want to make or what do I want to eat? And then you see a picture, and it's these fantastic-looking cookies or a cake or whatever, and you point to that picture and say, that's exactly what I want. That's the product that I want to produce. Now, what is the recipe? And the very first step is trying to figure out, what is it that I want? You know, you have these multi-level marketing deals or whatever. You know what they always show you? On the front packet of the video or the cassette series or whatever it is on the book, they show you the product that they know that you will latch onto and you will want. They show you the guy that's standing out there in front of his multi-million dollar house, and he's got about 12 cars and 13 boats, and he's got all kinds of things. And the guy that wants the money says, that's what I want. I want a life that looks like that guy's life. And so then he opens up the packet and he starts going through the recipe, he starts going through the details, and he tries to figure out, how can I get to the end result? How can I get the product? Well, the question that we've got to ask is, how do I get the product of power? How do I have the power of God on my life? Look back, if you would, at chapter number 12 and the end of verse 9 and the end of verse 10 tells us what this product is. The Bible says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, and here it is, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at verse 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Isn't that what we want? A strong Christian life. A powerful ministry for the Lord. A powerful and bold witness for the Lord. You know, it's interesting that as you study your Bible, you will understand that it has been the will of God, has always been the will of God, for us to live not just the Christian life, but the abundant Christian life. I came to give you life, but not just any life. Jesus says, I came to give you life more abundant. That's the life God wants for you. That's the life that God wants for me. Hey, listen, isn't it time that we get sick and tired of just being satisfied with a life, and instead of a life, we take the life of Christ and we look for the powerful Christian life? We start looking for a life that is filled with victory. We start looking for a life not in the world's definition of success, but in God's definition of success, a powerful Christian life. There are those that have been stirred to look for something that's supernatural, something that can only be explained by God living in and through an individual. You know, Jonathan Goforth, if you've read anything on Jonathan Goforth, you understand that we're talking about a guy that had the power of God on his life. Here he was, and he was, after his mission work, he was recruited all over the place to come and do revival work. And I remember reading just a small glimpse into his ministry, and he said, this morning in the service, we had 700 people in the service, and they were pressing on the outside doors. They couldn't wait to get in for the next service. He said the meeting would last 3 hours. He said, but we couldn't even, it was hard to even for me to get up and preach, because people, the Holy Spirit of God was so evidently working that people were standing up giving testimonies. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's called the power of Christ. When he came back to Canada, Jonathan Goforth was blind, and he was finished with most of his mission work, and he was very, very getting up in years. And he came back to Canada and would just kind of do different things. One day he went to his niece's house, and it was just a kind of a small get together there. And there this niece was married to this guy that was saved apparently, but he was away from the Lord. The story goes that Jonathan Goforth didn't say a word to that young man. He just kind of sat there. But that man could not keep his eyes off of Jonathan Goforth. He said there was something about his face. There was something about this person that he had something that I wanted. And he spent just a few hours there with him. And this niece said later that my husband was changed because of the life that Jonathan Goforth lived, and he never turned back on the life that he now found that was in Christ. Let me tell you what that is. It's called the power of Christ. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what I want for my family, for my ministry? You know, it's interesting. I was reading about an evangelist, a Chinese evangelist, and he was going back here in America. He was traveling around, and he got to a family's a home, and this mom and dad, dear mom and dad, cornered this evangelist and said, "Dear sir, would you please tell us the answer to our problem here? You don't understand, we're just sick and tired of the response that we're having with our children. We wake up in the morning and they'll do something and we are just irritated and we're sick of it. We're tired," this dear mom was saying, "we're tired of the impatience that is in our home. We're tired of that. And we're looking for something that's different." And there are people all over America, and I believe there are people even in this building right now that have been stirred to look for something that's different. And what you're looking for is the power of Christ. I remember preaching at a camp, and a young man got right with the Lord, and he was dealing with a serious issue, an issue of lust and pornography. And God got a hold of his heart. God got a hold of him in such a way that he confessed it and wanted to get rid of it. And then he said this to me. We were standing in the gym, and it was a few hours after the service, and he made this comment to me. He said, "Here's the problem." He said, "I hope that after camp, I can go home and I can still do right in this area." You know what he was telling me? He said, "I want desperately the power of Christ in my life." And I believe it is very possible there are some young people in this room and you are looking for maybe some specific sin. You are looking for victory over that specific sin. And the realization has got to come to you through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that nothing can happen unless it is the power of Christ. It's God's power that you need. It is the success that God brings. And so here we have the power. And can I just ask you, I mean, you just be honest. Do you not want the power of Christ in your own personal life? I'm talking about powerful living. I'm talking about victory that can be found in Christ to be free from the dominating effects of sin. Is that not what you want? Do you not want the powerful Christian life to go home and to be bold in your witness? Is that not what you want? Are you not looking for the power of Christ to rest upon you where people look at your life and though you're going through trials and tribulations, they look at your life and the only way that they can explain it is something supernatural is going on in that life? That's got to be the power of God on that young lady. That's got to be the power of Christ on that young man. Don't we want power in our ministry? Do you want just a ministry or you want the power of Christ on your ministry? Do you want a Christian life or do you want the abundant Christian life? The truth is God is stirring people to look for something a little bit different, to look for something that has to be supernatural. It can only be found through the power of Christ. And so first of all, number one, we see the product. And I believe we're all on the same page. We want that. We want the power of Christ on our life. Secondly, the access, we've got to understand, the access to this power is only by faith. Now again, let me go back to the illustration. If we're cooking, I open up the cookbook and I see a product there that I want. All right, that's the first step. And I say, and many of you have said already in your heart, "Lord, I want the power. I want the power that only that you can provide." And you have been stirred to look for something different. You're tired of depending upon yourself. You're sick and tired of the impatience. You're sick and tired of being dominated by lust or by worry. You're tired of that. And so you've already looked at the picture from the Word of God and you said, "That's what I want. I want that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want the strength of God Almighty." And so now we've got to understand, if this is the product, now we'll enter into the picture some ingredients and how to get these ingredients to mix together to produce the product of power. So if you could help me and imagine with me that we've got a huge bowl down here. And again, we're working backwards. We know what's going to come out of that bowl, that mixture. But what I want to let you know is that the two ingredients we're about to put in this mixture, it's got to be stirred together, and we'll let this spoon represent this issue of faith. In other words, you don't order power in the mail and get it and say, well, good, I've finally got the power of Christ in my life. That's not what happens. You've got to say goodbye and ask the Lord for forgiveness for this issue of unbelief and take by faith what God has said you could have. We've got to say goodbye to this issue of meritorious thinking where we've got to somehow work up to what God can then give us. It's a faith issue. In other words, God says that the power of Christ will rest upon you. I have access to that power by faith. And what we need this morning is just a simple childlike faith where we say, Lord, I don't understand a lot of things, but I know that it is not your will for me to continue to be dominated by this sin. I know that's not what you want. And Lord, I understand that you don't want me to live a Christian life. You want me to live an abundant Christian life. And Lord, I don't understand how all of it works, but I do understand that I've got to take this thing by faith. I believe your word. I'll take you at your word. And I'll take, if you've given it to me, then that's what I'll take. So then, let's understand, and here's where we'll focus. What are these ingredients? What do we put in this bowl? The axis is by faith. Whatever we put in, we're going to mix it together. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know what the product is. This product is the power that all of us have to have. We want it for our personal lives, for our ministries. So what are the ingredients? Look at your Bibles. The Bible says, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, would you look up here for just a second? All of us understand, hopefully, what this idea of grace is. Let me just review very quickly because I wanted to make it very, very simple. You understand that grace, a good definition that we've all grown up memorizing, is a free gift. That's not a bad definition. That's a good definition. It's a free gift. We've also heard that it's God giving you something that you don't deserve. That's an excellent definition. It is. Grace is God giving you something that we have not worked for, and we cannot even begin to deserve it. It's grace. God gives us salvation. It's free. It's not deserved. There's nothing that I can do to work for it, because then it's not grace. We understand that. Now here in this passage specifically, there is a specific thing that is mentioned for grace. In other words, God has given us something. He calls it grace, and then he puts some details in, and we know exactly what free gift that God is giving us. You know what it is? It is this strength. He names it. He says, when I am weak, then am I strong. He says, my grace is enough. It's sufficient for you so that you can have this, the word dunamis, the power, the strength. In other words, what God is saying here is, I've got a gift for you. It's called divine enablement. It's called strength. Now again, let's go back to this bowl here, this imaginary bowl that's up here. We know what's going to come out of it. We want it desperately. We want the power of Christ would rest on us. We know we've got to mix it all together by faith. Do you know that already in this bowl that's up here, already in there, you don't have to do anything about it, it's already there, there is present this enablement, this strength, this ingredient is already in the bowl. God has given it to us. It's a free gift. We understand where this comes from when you start examining Scripture in Romans chapter 6, and even starting in the book of Genesis, we realize that the salvation that we have received by God, we have received this, and yet it goes way beyond many times what we've ever even imagined. Christ said in the book of Genesis, did he not, that God's promise was to have Christ bruise the head of Satan. Do you know what happened on the cross? Do you realize that according to the book of Romans chapter 6, that when Christ did deal the death blow to Satan on the cross, you know what happened? The Bible says in the book of Romans that we identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that the Bible says that the old man has been crucified? You know what that means? This is life-changing. You know, before you and I were saved, that we had this old man that was attached. It had no other choice. Our old man was attached to sin. It was attached to Satan and everything that he wanted to do, and we had no other hope. He was our master. We were his slave. He was our boss. And there was no hope of getting out of that relationship unless there was a death. And there was a death. And what happened on the cross, Jesus Christ died physically, he was buried, and he rose again, and spiritually that very moment, you and I as Christians, we died spiritually, and there was a great separation. And here's exactly what happened. Our old man got out of that relationship. Our old man died to that boss. Our old man died, and now all of a sudden there is a slave here that has no master except being now the new man, the new master, Jesus Christ. You know what that means for us? The Bible says this old man has been crucified, and it says, ye that are dead are freed from sin. The young person, you've got to understand this. If you're going to have the power of Christ and have victory over that sin that's been dominating you, many of you, for months or for years. Do you realize that on the cross, what happened was you were freed from the bondage of that sin? And the Bible says, ye that are dead, that is separated. Ye that are dead, ye that are separated, are no longer under the bondage of that sin. In other words, we could say it like this. Sin right now, if you're saved, has absolutely no right to tell you what to do. There's no right. That sin is not your boss anymore. You've died out of that relationship. You're in a new relationship with the new man and Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, and this is a fantastic promise, sin shall not have dominion over you. You know what that means? It means for some of you, you've been settling into this philosophy that, well, I guess everyone's going to struggle, and this is just a thing that I'm going to struggle with. That's not what God says. He says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder, have you ignored the promise in Scripture? Have you ignored the opportunity now for the power of Christ, that the power of Christ can rest upon you? And so we understand that now in this mixture is the opportunity for victory. You know, I am so thankful for the position that we have in Christ. When you start reading the book of Ephesians, you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it in the book of Romans. You can't get away from it in the book of Galatians, where Scripture says that we are placed in Christ. By the way, if we're in Christ, and Christ is our head, and we are the body, and the Bible says that Jesus is on the throne. Can I ask you, where are we spiritually? We're on the throne. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that the principalities, that they no longer have dominion over us, and we are set high above the principalities and the powers of darkness. Take it by faith. God has given us a position that is in Christ. It's a position of power. Can I just encourage you with this? Again, this is life-changing. That same God of heaven. I'm talking about the righteous God of heaven. In all of His holiness, in all of His power, in all of His purity, that Christ lives in me and that Christ lives in you. Can you let that sink in for just a second? Jesus Christ lives in you. All of His pureness, all of His patience, all of His kindness, all of His boldness, all of His love, all of His gentleness, all of His power, that lives in you. You see, what we have made available to us is now this ingredient of dunamis, this ingredient of divine enablement, God giving us. We don't deserve it. We can't work for it. It's already there. If you want to take it, you can take it. It is grace. It is God's power made available for you. And so what do we do then to mix it together and somehow produce this product of power. Well, it's important, and here's where everything breaks down for the world. The world just doesn't like this whole philosophy. They're okay with talking about strength, but when it comes time for this last ingredient, there's a major, major problem. Look at your Bibles. The Bible says, "My grace, my gift is sufficient for thee, for my divine enablement." This dunamis, this power, is made perfect in. In other words, there's got to be a completion to produce the product. And the thing that completes it is weakness. Verse 10, "For when I am," what? "Weak, then I am strong." You know, this doesn't seem to fit. But young person, an adult, we have got to swallow a whole lot of pride and understand that the second ingredient that we need to mix together by faith that will produce this product of power is something that we fight against. It fights against our pride. It's weakness. The Scripture says it's made perfect. In other words, it's made complete. In other words, you do not have the end result. You do not have the product unless you have both strength, that is the strength of God, and you add to it the weakness, our weakness. It's very interesting. I was talking to a guy that goes to our church, and he is a CEO of a different kind of a business. He took me on a little bit of a tour, and what they do is very unusual. It's located in Greer, South Carolina, and they will take trash, basically. They will take rice hulls. You know what rice hulls are? The little covering that covers rice. Most people all across the world, they will take those things by the dumpster load. They'll take those things to the trash. And it's trash to people. Well, not to this company. They send those things, the rice hulls, they send those hulls to this company, and they fill up 50,000-pound silos with those things, and they send them, and he showed them to me, and I don't understand all the details, but they send them through this 150-foot-long furnace. And it looks basically like a long tube, and they stick some of the product in the cylinder, and they heat it up to about 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And it cooks for 8 hours. And then it goes out on the other end, and I saw it. I looked on the other end, and it looks like kind of a big piece of cake. And then they take it, and they sort it through some other pieces of machinery, and they get out all the impurities. And then the end result is a ceramic cutting tool that, next to the diamond cutting tool, is the hardest substance in the world. We're talking about it produces some cutting tools for gas turbine engines and airplane engines and things like that. And again, diamond produces the hardest substance in the world for cutting tools, but this is next in line. So this thing, the whole machinery and all this company does, it produces one of the hardest cutting tools in all the world. Now, he's emailing me and talking to me about some of this information, and I asked him this question. It's a pretty good question. I said, "What happens if you take out the rice hulls?" You know what he said? He said, "You don't get the product. It's trash." Rice hulls. Nobody in the world uses trash, uses rice hulls. But you know what? For this company, if you don't have the trash in there, if you don't have the rice hulls, you don't get the product. Now, can I tell you something? If we do not have, in our formula for power, if we do not have the weakness, in the world's eyes, it's just trash. I mean, it's inability. It's weakness. But you have to have weakness to produce the power of Christ in your life. And that's where we struggle. I'm just going to be honest, be transparent. That's where I struggle. Because I am very quick to offer to the Lord all of my strength and all of my ability. And everything that I can do, you know what God's waiting for? He's saying, "It's not working. You're not getting the power of Christ. I already have enough strength to last.
All I am requiring for you to do is for you to bring to me your weakness. And as you bring your weakness, then we mix it. God allows an exchange. In fact, you understand what Isaiah is talking about now. As we examine, the word renew means to exchange. The Bible says you'll renew your strength. That means exchange. So you give me your weakness, God says, I'll exchange it, and I'll take the weakness, and I'll give you the strength, and out comes the power of Christ. You know, we are proud people. And so what our natural inclination is to do is to give God all of our ability. And God says, no, I want your inability. You know what this means? It means a few things. Number one, it means infirmities or weaknesses give an advantage to power, not a disadvantage. Does that make sense? What it means is this. There's a young person maybe in this building. And you struggled with a certain life-dominating sin. It could be that just a young lady in here, you just struggle with worry. You struggle with gossip. You struggle with the things that you say. There may be a young man in here, and you struggle with your thought life. You struggle with what you're looking at on the internet. You struggle with some of the things that run through your mind. And you're at a Christian college, and I'm telling you, it bothers you. And you want more than anything to have the power of Christ on your life. And what it takes is for that individual to say, you know what, I'm tired of looking for all the excuses. And these infirmities, that's an infirmity. That's a weakness in your life. And what you've got to stop doing is saying, well, Lord, I guess this is my weakness, and I guess I'll just constantly be struggling with this. What God wants you to do is take that weakness to the formula and say, Lord, I cannot be pure. Lord, I cannot speak the right things. Lord, I cannot stop this gossip. I can't. Lord, I'm weak. I have an inability. And you take that weakness to the Lord and you say, Lord, would you renew me? Would you give me the strength, the divine enablement? And what God does is say, thank you, I've been waiting for that. If you would just acknowledge your weakness and your inability, and He transforms it, and He renews it, and He gives you the divine enablement. It's free. You can have it. And the product then is a production of power. And you start going through life and you go, wait a minute. I am dependent now on the Jesus Christ that lives inside of me. And all of a sudden, as I'm dependent upon Christ, Christ's life is living through me. And all of a sudden, I'm saying the right things. I'm thinking the right thoughts. Because, you know, it's not me. It's the Christ life. I turned in my life. Like Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Wait a minute, I'm not living, he says. But Christ liveth in me. And young person, you can struggle and you can fight against that life-dominating sin, and you will go to your grave fighting against that sin. Until you get to the point where you understand, wait a minute, Romans chapter 6 says that I am dead, I am free from this sin. And that's enough. And I'm sick and tired of living. And I want now to exchange my weakness for the strength of God. And I'm going to let Jesus Christ now live my life. You see, the inability is needed. And oh, for a young person that just gets honest and says, Lord, I am incapable. I can't do it. But you can. You see, it's not an excuse. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity now for you to see the power of Christ on your life. Secondly, weakness is not my human strength. The focus then is this word sufficient. The word is enough. You know, we have some warped thinking. We say things like, well, I don't want to rely on my own strength. That as if we have strength. In reality, John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You see, we don't have any strength. The Bible says the flesh profiteth what? Nothing. The Scripture tells us, in me, that's in my flesh, in me dwelleth no good thing. You see, in reality, I have no ability. I have no strength. We've tricked ourselves into thinking that God needs my help. We have, in our ministry, we have some equipment that we set up every Saturday, and sometimes it's a fun thing to watch as my kids try to help. And there's some pretty heavy things. And sometimes my 8-year-old will come up and say, here, I'll help you carry this big whiteboard or help with a basketball goal or whatever. and he'll have his hand on it as if he's doing something. In reality, he's not doing anything. And it's cute when it comes to kids. When it comes to us, it's not so cute. God doesn't need our help. You know what he says? He says, my gift of strength, my divine enablement, my grace is enough. It's enough. You don't need anything else if you have Christ. You know, we preach this, and shame on us if we preach anything else when it comes to the gospel. I remember I was doing a tournament up in Chicago area, and a couple met me right down front. And we had finished the message and the invitation, and our kids were being dealt with. And a mom and dad were very uncomfortable. In fact, the mom kept the son from responding. He had raised his hand and even started to respond, and she kept him from responding. Well, then they met me. As people were leaving, they met me right up front, and they said, we agree with most everything that you said. And we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again, and that you need to trust Christ. But you can't tell these kids that that's all you have to do, because you have to be baptized. They're from a Church of Christ background. I'm going to tell you, I had a problem with that. And so we talked, and I tried to give them some verses, tried to help them a little bit. And two or three times, I remember in that conversation, I looked at that man and I said, can I just ask you, is Christ not enough? I mean, is Jesus enough? Is he enough to save you? Well, we know the answer to that. Of course he is. Can I ask you, Christian, for your life, to live your life, an abundant life, can I just ask you to get honest? Is Jesus enough? Is he enough? Why is it then there is a constant dependence upon what I can do? You know, there's nothing wrong with education. You're in a good school. But isn't there a difference between getting involved in education and using whatever abilities and talents that God has given you and depending on education? Isn't there a difference? You see, Jesus is enough. He's enough. And what he requires from us is just to bring our inability, our weakness. We're powerless. And we acknowledge before the Lord, we say, Lord, in me dwelleth no good thing. Lord, the flesh profiteth nothing. I cannot. I use this illustration to make sense in my mind. If I was going to maybe, like, let's just say the 50th floor of an apartment building or something like that, there's a few ways I could get there. Number one, I could climb the steps. When I get there, I'll be very tired. Along the way, it'll be very discouraging for me. I'll trip a few times. I'll have to rest a few times. And there will be failure. There's another way I can get up. I can ask somebody to come alongside those same steps, and I can ask that person to help me. It's still going to be difficult. There's still going to be failure. And I'm going to trip a few times, and I'm going to be discouraged along the way. It's just going to be a pain, but I'll finally get to the top. There's a third way that I can get to the top. I can walk over the elevator. I can have somebody break both of my legs and put me in the elevator and push the button. At that point, the elevator's enough. It'll do. And it'll get me to the top. Young person, what we've got to understand is that Jesus is enough. God doesn't need your help. You let him live through you. He's enough. You bring to him your weakness. You bring to him your inability. Listen, you don't have boldness to witness. You need the boldness of Christ. You don't have wisdom to make the right choices in your ministry and in your family. You don't have that. You need the wisdom of Jesus. You don't have what it takes to be a Christian, and neither do I. We need the abundant life that comes with letting Christ live through us. And so infirmities, these weaknesses, they are not my human strength. And then I want you to see infirmities ought to be valued then as rare ingredients. They're rare ingredients. But they ought to be valued. I think it's interesting, Paul here
In verse 10, he just kind of goes crazy. He says, well, good. I take pleasure there in infirmities. And he starts naming these things and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, well, good. If weakness and infirmities is the ingredient, part of the ingredient to get me the power of Christ, then I want a whole lot more. Give me some more necessities. Give me some more reproaches. Give me the distresses. I'll just keep adding to this formula and I'll keep renewing it with the strength of God and the power of Christ will be seen in my life. Was not the power of Christ seen in Paul's life? There's the secret. What it means then is that these infirmities, and I'm talking about now weaknesses in your life that have come in the form of trial or temptation, these things ought to be valued as rare ingredients. Praise the Lord for them. Thank God. You know what happens? Some of you are going through a trial right now, a financial struggle. Some things going on back home. Some things that you wish you were in control of, but you have no idea what's going to happen next. You know what this is an opportunity for? That's a reproach. That's a distress. It's a trial. It's an infirmity. It's a weakness. And you take that to the Lord in this formula and you say, Lord, this is my weakness. Lord, I'm not going to try to necessarily get rid of it. I'm just going to take it to the formula and I want to see the power of God in my life. And what happens is you go home to your family and they know the struggles that you have. They know the trials that you're going through. They know the financial difficulties that you're going through. And they're looking at your life and they're going, I don't know how she does that. How does he have the joy of the Lord on his face? Why does she have the peace of God in her life? You know what happens? They're looking at the power of Christ. It's interesting, we have this idea that if we could just get rid of all of our trials and everything bad in our life, then we could be a good Christian. Lord, just get rid of all those people that I work with and stop letting them make me so impatient. If you get rid of all those people and kill them off or whatever, then I can actually live a Christian life. We were in Pennsylvania. We were going through a very hard semester. We were without a fifth wheel, and we were waiting. So we're in and out of mission houses. Most of you don't understand that, but it's difficult when you got four kids. And if you're in and out of mission houses or hotels, we just went ahead. When we checked into a hotel room, we just turned ourselves in and said, we'll be in trouble later on because it's probably going to be a little bit loud around bath time. So it was just difficult. And everyone goes through difficult times or whatever, but I remember laying in bed and dealing with our kids. It seemed like they were getting up, all of them. Just taking turns getting up at night, and parents know what I'm talking about in this building, and it was just a struggle. And God was dealing with me about this passage of Scripture and dealing with my wife. And I honestly prayed this. One of our kids started crying once again in the middle of the night and in a mission house somewhere, and I said, well, Lord, let me go check on my infirmity. Let me go check on my weakness. You know what it is? Is God allowing certain things in our life that give us the opportunity not to fight against them? Be careful about praying against your infirmities. Be careful about the prayer that says, Lord, just make this go away. Lord, just solve this financial problem, make it go away. Lord, these issues with my friends or my family, Lord, make them go away. Be careful about that kind of prayer. Instead of that, say, Lord, they're weaknesses. They're infirmities. Lord, thank you for these infirmities. I'm going to take them to the formula. And Lord, I cannot wait to see the power of Christ in my life because, Lord, if I'm by myself, I am going to be impatient. But Lord, you live in me. And so I'm going to see patience now. And people are going to look at you and go, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? You know what the answer is? That individual is living a life that's supernatural. It can only be explained by God. It's the power of Christ. You know, we sing a lot of different songs in our hymn books. And some of them, you just can't help but notice this truth that God is teaching us. Listen to the words of Near, Still Near. Near, still near, nothing I bring. Not as an offering to Jesus my King, only my sinful now contrite heart. Rock of ages, nothing in my hand I bring, nothing. Simply to the cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress. Helpless,
Look to thee for grace. Bow I to the fountain fly. Can I ask you, do you want the powerful Christ life? How are you right now in your life? How are you going about getting the Christ life? Maybe it's time for you, listen, maybe it's time for you just to get honest in this chapel service and to come to an altar maybe here in the next few minutes and leave in your seat your strength and bring God your weakness. Lord, I want the power of God. Stop making excuses. Stop trying to cover up all of your inabilities. Don't cover them up with a personality, with education. Don't depend upon anything. Let God expose them. And come and bring God only your weakness and say, Lord, I want your strength. You said I could have it. You said that your divine enablement, your grace is enough. And so, Lord, I don't really know a whole lot except that I've got to trust you by faith. And I'll take the divine enablement. And Lord, I want things to be different. I want the power of Christ in my life. And I come to the conclusion that in me dwelleth no good thing. I want Christ. Lord, would you help us to understand our inability, our weakness? Lord, it's not a popular message that the world would love to hear because it attacks our pride. And Lord, it is possible that there are some young ladies, young men, even adults, that you have got to break apart their pride. Well, the truth is, the formula does not include what we know. The formula does not include who we know. The formula does not include how long we've been a Christian, how often we read our Bible. Lord, the formula includes your strength in our weakness. And Lord, without our weakness, it just doesn't work. Our strength plus your strength will not produce the power of Christ. But your strength plus our weakness always results in the powerful Christ life. It's an abundant life. And Lord, I pray that you would stir young people. Give them a desire for something different. Lord, make them sick of themselves to look for the strength that only you can provide. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking, I wonder if some adults and young people would get honest with the Lord and be humble enough to admit if God's dealing with you. And I wonder how many of you would say, you know, preacher, I needed this. The Spirit of God definitely dealt with me on specific issues in my life. And I'd like for things to be different. I want desperately the power of Christ to be seen in my life. I need this. God has convicted me over pride. God has dealt with me on some issues. And I need to just simply get right with God this morning. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking. I wonder if someone would say, preacher, pray for me. God dealt with me this morning. Would you put your hand straight up so I can see and pray for you? Good. Yes, yes, yes. Good. Good. Amen. Lord, thank you for these ones that have responded. And Lord, all of us need it. Lord, we're so arrogant. So filled with pride. Lord, yet we have got to come to the conclusion that we come to the cross with nothing in our hands. We come to you looking for strength. The strength of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are privileged to have Jesus Christ in all of His holiness and all of His purity living inside of us.